I just feel like a lot of that advice either doesn't apply or doesn't apply in the same way, or there are caveats that you have to think about if you're selling a higher ticket B2B service or product.
Welcome to another episode of the Rove Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey of self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast. This week, Dave and I are excited to bring back another guest. This is our first three-time guest on the show, I think. Brian Castle, how you doing?
Hey, Craig, Dave, thanks for having me back on. I've just been a fan of listening to you guys, and every week I'm just like, man, I want to chime in on this conversation here.
And today you can. Yeah. Today you can drive it, yes. Yes, we are, of course, big fans of Bootstrap Web as well. So listening to what you and Jordan have been chatting about lately is actually part of the motivation of today's show, right, Craig?
Yeah, for sure. No, I think it's funny. We all, I don't know if it's by happenstance or not, but we all sort of come into the same parts of our business and challenges at similar times, I think. And right now, I think all three of us have funnels on the brain a little bit, where we're talking about acquiring customers and how to bring them into our business and nurture them along, and then give them different opportunities for saying yes to the different things that we provide. So yeah, I thought it would just be a fun chance to talk about funnels and kind of where funnels are in our business and how we're thinking about them and things that we're trying and things that are not working and things that definitely are working, and kind of just knock it around for a while.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think for me, that's probably one of the biggest goals that I have this year. I mean, really, I've had this goal every year, but really this year I'm trying to focus on getting that marketing funnel really dialed in to a point where I know exactly which channels, particularly paid advertising, if I can get that running to a point where I know it will drive X number of leads or free trials or for whatever product I'm promoting, then it's profitable, then that's really the goal. Because really up until now with Audience Ops in the last like 2 years or so, it's been almost all of our leads have come either organically or people who just have been through my personal audience or people I've met at conferences. A little bit of word of mouth. We do some content stuff, obviously, and that's helped as well. But that thing that just drives leads predictably is, I think, the goal for most business owners. And it's been that thing that I've been chasing for a couple of years, and I haven't quite nailed it down. So you're kind of catching me at a point where I'm testing out a bunch of different stuff. And to be honest, I haven't really, nailed it down quite yet, but, still working through it.
Yeah, I think it's really fair. I mean, I think the transparency that we all strive for in podcasting with our businesses is really important. I think it's important to note that, yeah, you've been trying a lot of stuff and not everything is working. I don't know that I talk to a lot of people who say, I give Facebook a dollar and they get, and my business makes $2 or $3 on the back end really regularly and predictably. I know, Rob talks about it with Hittail, that he figured out Facebook ads for a while and it really drove their revenue a lot. But I think, one, that was a few years ago and it's probably a lot more expensive now. But two, he's a really savvy marketer, right? So I don't know that – I'm certainly not there with Facebook ads. Yeah, that's the goal, right? I know you and Jordan talked about it on your show, Brian, last week, and he chuckled a little bit when you said, yeah, I want to put $1 in this end of the business and get $2 out the other side, because that's what everyone wants. But yep. I think that you touched on a really important part, which is like predictably and measurably, which for me is the elusive part.
Yeah.
And every channel is a little bit different, right? So, I know that, Brian, you're specifically trying these paid acquisition here, but I know that when I bought Recapture, that the guys that were doing that before me and that others in the Magento space have also tried paid advertising, and everybody has flopped on it. Like, that's not a channel that seems to work. So it isn't really about finding that paid acquisition channel. It's about finding the right channel where you can somehow push customers through, whether it's paying for ads or getting somebody to provide the right list or know what list to attack or whatever. All of those are things that are going to make that funnel and that channel successful. And I think it's something that you can't necessarily just sort of – I think the reason that you keep dialing this in every year, Brian, is the fact that no channel ever stays stable indefinitely, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that the big challenge with just paid advertising in general is like when you're doing it to cold audiences who've never heard of you before, I think the costs for that are just going to continuously go up. They're already very high today. People are, you know, users just generally are more inclined to just tune out ads. We're all getting more savvy about just literally just ignoring ads when you see that sponsored message on it. Right. Even if it's something that kind of fits you and where you're at, it, you know, if you've never heard of the company before, that's just such a huge hurdle to get over just to click on the thing, let alone convert once you get onto the landing page. But what I have found a little bit of success with in different campaigns is retargeting and you know, using retargeting ads to people who've been on my list for a couple of weeks, whether it's you know, inviting them to a webinar or bringing them back to a sales cycle if I've already spoken to them. That sort of stuff has definitely worked, and I have dialed in kind of the sales, like bringing somebody through the sales pipeline once they're in, typically originally organically coming from a Google search or a referral or something. So that side of it is definitely, you know, a little bit easier to dial in. The tough part is like, how do you throw fuel on the fire on the top end to just really boost the amount of traffic? And, you know, things that I've tried with varying success is like just boost it. You know, we're doing content every week, so we'll boost those posts on Facebook and or bring people back to like an email course or an ebook or something like that. There are different ways to go. There are so many different variations of these funnels that you can put together, and I've been testing out different configurations. But yeah, it's tough. And you know, the other challenge that I run into that I'm sure we all have is you're trying to validate a new idea or even just validate a marketing channel just to see if there's anything here that might work in the future. You know, you want to. Like right now, I'm not really going to talk too much about it, but there's like a new thing that we might be launching in the near future with Audience Ops. And this is not the calendar SaaS that I've been talking about, but there's something else that I've been kind of testing a little bit in stealth. And really the first thing before I really wanted to talk about it to anyone was just to see if I could run cold Facebook ads to get at least a couple of conversions. And I've just been running those for the last day or so, you know, just to see if it's possible to just, you know, get it in front of complete strangers and see what happens. And that's been tough because, you know, again, they're complete strangers. They never heard of me, never heard of Audience Ops. And yeah, it's just, you know, tough to see, but,
So what kind of, not to ask you to divulge what you don't want to, but, you're running, when you talk about conversions, you mean like someone signing up for an email list or buying like a low dollar product? What's your conversion goal? What type of goal is it, I guess?
Yeah. And I mean, I've been testing funnels for a few different products. So it's a little bit different for each one. One thing that I've been working on is just trying to drive leads for our existing content service, which, you know, it's about a thousand or two a month. So it's definitely a high ticket item. And that's obviously very difficult to just get cold leads for because it's such a high ticket item, but it's, you know, really, so that's one thing that I've been testing out, you know, whether it's bringing somebody to a webinar and then asking for the email for the lead or just, you know, people who visited the site, bringing them back to the lead form. I've been testing a few different things there. The other thing is, it's kind of like a free trial offer, if you will. So just trying to bring people to the page. They see what the pricing will be, but there is a way to completely try the service or the product, if you will, for free. And that's kind of the conversion that I've been going for. One thing that I have been testing out with a little bit of success is Facebook lead ads, which I think are kind of new in the past year or so on Facebook, where you can just show an ad, they click through, but they don't actually leave Facebook.com. They can enter their email, and it even takes their Facebook email and pre-populates the form. And then you can hook that directly into Drip, and they basically join your email list, but they never have to necessarily leave Facebook. So that's a good way to get leads into the top of your list, but you know they're not necessarily landing on your sales page and going through what you have to offer. So you still need to nurture them and follow up.
Yeah, it sounds like they've re-implemented Twitter lead cards.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like Twitter lead cards, except with, 500 billion users instead of just a million?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that Twitter actually just killed their lead cards, actually. Well, they will be killing it tomorrow. That was the official announcement.
That's amazing. Yeah. Just as an aside, it's amazing that Twitter can't make money. I think it's just such, in our space at least, such a popular platform.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like it's still the network that I enjoy using the most, probably. But yeah, I mean, I have tested some, even just promoting content on Twitter with promoted posts and things, and just no advertising on Twitter for me has worked at all. I've kind of given up on it, and it just seems to me that if you're going to do any sort of paid advertising, Facebook, like you have to do it on Facebook, right? I mean, there are lots of different places you can go, but for pay-per-click, that's where the audience is, I think, for B2C and B2B.
So I haven't done it, but I've been kind of on the video bandwagon lately since recording the 8 modules for our podcast, launch in a week course. I've been doing like headshot videos and screencast videos, and it's, as you know, it's fantastic on Facebook, but I'm going to start getting into some YouTube retargeting ads probably. But I just think aside from Facebook, if you want to venture out, I think YouTube would be an interesting place for kind of the techie entrepreneur.
That's true.
Savvy actually, crowd.
Yeah, YouTube, you're right. I think that has been... That's been on my radar for a while and something that I've been wanting to do. I feel like you need a very specific strategy around the ads, like to have the video to really catch their attention in the first couple of sentences.
Yeah. So, one of the things that we've been kind of struggling with, and I think it's an interesting topic to bring up, is like kind of the goal or like the framework for like what a funnel is and how you approach building it. And I think it applies to all of us, Dave, with kind of looking at recapture and like what the funnel looks like there and how you kind of start tweaking it. For us with Podcast Motor, building a funnel around our services and our course and now our hosting platform and kind of, okay, so we're getting like 20 or 30 new signups to our list a day, but then how do I implement like segmenting them and, sending them down the right path to where the message that they're getting is right for the action that they are most likely to take and all this kind of stuff. And Brian, for you, it sounds like a little bit of the same with like you have multiple things to offer and then how are you acquiring those people? And then once you get them in, it's more of an email marketing question, but how are you segmenting and kind of funneling those people the right way to hopefully a good conversion? But I don't know. So how do you guys look at like from a big picture, okay, we're going to set up a funnel. Go right. Like I think it's a daunting thing for a lot of people to think about, because there's so much shit that goes into it. Right.
For me, because there's so much shit that can go into it, as you succinctly put it, the endpoints are like the most important part for me to get started. And then once I have the endpoints, I can make a decision. Well, all right. So how do I get from one end to the other end? And like, how many steps might that take? So that's sort of like the macro picture that I've been looking at when I've been looking through things with recapture, trying to build a cold email pipeline right now, trying to deal with how to re-engage churned users and find out from those that did trials but didn't convert, what is it that we weren't doing right that I can find out how to fix? So, I mean, that, I would say that's how I get started on it. What about you guys?
Well, for me, so this is something that I've been really working a lot on over the last 2 or 3 months. For listeners who aren't familiar, Audience Ops, this year we're moving into a model where we're selling 3 products instead of one. And the one that we've had for the first years is our service, you know, done for you content marketing. Pretty soon we'll be launching our own SaaS tool called Audience Ops Calendar. And that's basically a content calendar tool with some analytics reporting built into it and some process checklist stuff built into it. That's a terrible elevator pitch for it, by the way. But so anyway, that's actually just coming out of beta now, like in the next month or so. I'll starting to invite like the people who've been on the early access list and that sort of stuff. So that's the second product. And then the third is a training product that is not built yet. Maybe 20% of it is built at this point. And I'm hoping to get that out the door in the next, you know, 2 months or so. So what I've been doing, I did launch a redesign of the site about 2 months ago. And basically now it went from being like a one-page site selling the one service to being kind of a three-page site in a way where, well, four. So like the homepage is just about Audience Ops, and then it links you up to 3 dedicated landing pages for each of our 3 products. And the way that I think about it, actually, Dave, it's a little bit the opposite of how you put it, where you said you kind of think about the end goal in mind first. I think that's really smart when you're selling just one thing, which really makes a lot of sense. And kind of work backwards from there. In my case, I've been thinking about it more of like, where are the entry points from the top of the funnel? And there are a number of different ways where people join our list. You know, we have content upgrades on all of our content. We've got a couple of global lead magnets, like a video thing and an email course that attracts email subscribers. Another big thing that I launched is email opt-ins right at the top of each of those sales pages that where you can download like a free samples document that attracts a lot of email subscribers. So in Drip, I've set up a bunch of workflows and there are like these entry points where people can come in. And then all of those basically, like after the day or two, if they get delivered the thing that they had opted in for, then they get dropped into a big workflow that I've called backend funnel. And that's just a long, probably like a multi-month workflow where they're every like 10 to 20 days or so, they're going to receive some sort of informational email about one of our products. And the way that I decide like which thing they're going to hear about is I have a custom field set up that shows, you know, this person is interested in product A or product B or product C. And so if they've downloaded the sample articles for our service, then that'll mark them as interested in the service. Or if they have opted in for the early access list for the calendar product, then they're interested in the calendar product. And I'll focus on promoting that first to them. But, you know, I'm not sending them promotional salesy emails all the time. Like what's also happening is every week throughout the lifetime of their subscription, they're receiving our content emails. So we have a backlog of articles and we've kind of ordered them by, you know, best performing articles so that new subscribers every single week on Monday, they're going to receive like our best performing article. That goes on for many weeks and then just inserted in between them. They'll hear about different case studies and products and things like that.
That definitely seems to be the difference between just how complex and rich your, you know, ecosystem is. Like with Recapture, things are very simple for me right now. I'm just trying to drive basic growth. I mean, you are long, long past that stage where you're trying to drive a more complex things. And now because you've got these 3 different products, you don't really know which product they want to have pitched to them next until you do some of that behavioral analysis and tag them to say they're interested in the calendar, they're interested in the content marketing, they're interested in this, and then that tailors your pitch. For me, yep. I've got just one thing to pitch, like you said. You know, it's all about the abandoned cart email, and they either want it or they don't. And that's all I really got to work with. So yeah, that's a very interesting but different perspective.
Yeah. But you know, I think that the just coming back to the whole thing of like, you know, building funnels and understanding ROI and how well each funnel is converting, at the end of the day, what I've noticed is it's still almost like no matter what your product is, it still takes a long, long, long time for some, between the time somebody initially discovers you to the time that they are ready to take out their credit card and buy something from you. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes across the board, whether you're selling a course or selling a SaaS or selling a service. I don't know that many customers of ours who bought within a week of finding out about us.
We had an instance last week where I know the guy saw a Facebook ad because they opted in on a page that's only linked from Facebook ads, got the first two emails in the first 2 days, and then bought our course. And I was like, that's it. Yeah. I want to do more of these. I was like, how do I find 100 of these guys?
I think the course, selling info products is probably the thing that gets you closest to that goal.
Yeah.
Right? And I've seen that a bit with selling the productized course. But still, most of the buyers of the productized course are people who've been on my email list for a while. Mm-hmm. And I even get emails all the time like, you know, one of these days I'm going to buy it or I plan to buy it next quarter. I'm just waiting. And then, you know, a few months later when they're in that mindset or something changes in their business when they're ready to buy it, and the same goes for audience ops, you know, that's when they pull the trigger. And the reason why they do or the reason why they come back is because I've been following up with them with content and nurturing them and building that trust and, you know, and all the rest of it. So I still think that it's tough and it's a long game, but it's, you know, you can do things in the funnel to move them along, and we should do that. But at the end of the day, it's building the trust organically, especially that initial discovery that makes them more likely to convert later.
The higher the price point that you're dealing with, the higher the level of trust you have in order to execute on that. Like I can tell you right now, Brian, that if I didn't have a personal relationship with you early on when you were starting Audience Ops, I don't know that I would have necessarily felt so comfortable slapping down $1,000 a month to get content built for me. But you know, having known you, that was an easier decision for me to make. If it had just been, you know, Bob's content shop on the internet, and they charge the same price as Audience Ops, it would have taken me a whole lot longer to feel real good about paying that monthly fee and get that content out of it. It is definitely a long game when it comes to trust. There's no instant gratification there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I see it in my own buying habits too, right? Like Drift. Like literally today I just tried out Drift for the first time, the live chat tool. And I plan on paying for it pretty soon. But I've been a fan of their podcast for the last like 6 months, you know? And like that's why A, that I know about Drift, and B, why I'm willing to consider it over any other tools right now. And I'm excited to use it. Because finally right now I'm at a moment where I could really use a live chat tool on my site. And who comes to mind? Drift, you know. Interesting.
And, you know, Dave, I think you touched on a really important thing, which is like segmenting customers and like what I think Brian and I similarly are running into with like, okay, we're going to get someone into the top of our funnel and then let them self-select what is most important to them. For me, has been pretty challenging. I think we're doing a good job just in terms of cost efficiency of getting new subscribers to our email list and getting people into the top of the funnel. But the challenge for me has been building the funnel to let them take actions that will select kind of what their interest is. But I think it's really hard. But I think it applies to you too, Dave, with your business, because it's not what they're interested in, but kind of where they are in the buying journey. And I think you could do some cool stuff with sending different messages to them based on kind of the actions they take.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the more I'm learning about my audience, so I'll tell you a couple of things that I started up probably about 2 weeks ago. I set up Bluetick and I put in three sequences in there. And one of those sequences was for the people that were paid users and churned out, I was trying to find out why they left. And then there was another one for users that were in a trial but didn't convert. I wanted to find out why they didn't convert. And now I'm working on a third one right now for cold email. One of the responses I actually just got today for the didn't convert from a trial was that they had put a pause on that aspect of their project, of their store. And I don't, you know, the guy didn't, I haven't followed up with him to find out more, but it was interesting because I kind of got the feeling, based on what I see in his email and the way he responded, that he was a Magento developer as opposed to a store owner and had a very different need or perspective on there. So it was something that if I had segmented them better early on and it would have known that if they're a Magento developer, that I could push content that would be more relevant to a Magento developer to help build up that trust so that when the next project shows up, they're like, boom, recapture. That's what I want to use on my next project because Dave's been sending me all this great stuff for 6 months. And it's not any different really than what I see with the WordPress plugins. When I started sending out all the content through Audience Ops, you know, I actually split the content. About half of it was geared towards just running a WordPress business in general or a WordPress site in general. And half of it was about, you know, running a freelance business because I knew that half my owners were freelance. And that seemed to really increase engagement. And I got lots of positive comments from people saying, hey, I really enjoy the article last week because it was relevant to me, blah, blah, blah. And I could probably even go a level further and do something more like what Brennan Dunn is doing right now with his Drip Power Tools, where he pops up a little something on his site and says, select one of the following that most applies to you. And it'll say, for, you know, for the WordPress plugins, it might say for me, are you a WordPress site owner or are you a WordPress freelance developer? And then tag them according to whatever they click and send them the content that most fits that persona that you're trying to market to.
Yeah, what Brennan's been doing with the Drip stuff has been really awesome to see. That's something that I've been wanting to get up and running for a while, is get that personalization piece going, you know. Because it's so true, like when a person comes to your site, if they're already on your list, they shouldn't really see an opt-in to get your top of funnel lead magnet. They've probably already received that, so you know they should see something else.
Or yeah, that's super. Or you should
point them
happens.
Straight to yeah, or point them straight to the product that you know that they've shown interest in before.
And I think the really kind of elegant way, the elegant thing to do and to strive for is to naturally let them select, not like a pop-up with a survey or something like that, but you know, what articles are they reading and what emails are they clicking on links to? And I mean, it's just the granularity of data collection and like association that I think is for me is daunting. We have 100 and something articles on our site now, and we send out 20 something emails as part of our autoresponder series, depending on, you know, what action somebody takes, to sort of conceptually and then to implement tagging those all in a way that makes sense and then doing something with all of those tags is for me kind of tough. Cause like if you lead score, maybe would be the way to do it. If you lead score people based on what they're doing with every email and visit to your site, I think that could be a way, but then lead score only gives you like a, you know, good, better, best kind of thing. It doesn't tell you what to send them next. And I think, yeah, what Brennan's doing is great. I bought his course, Dave, after we were talking about it a couple weeks ago, and just getting into it now, but I mean, it's blowing my mind, like what he's doing. It's definitely next level kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think I would be a little bit careful with like over engineering this stuff. And I try to pull myself back sometimes with getting too granular with it. I've heard of that idea of like, if somebody reads an article about pricing, then they must be interested in buying the product that's about pricing. I don't know that I would really necessarily take it that far. I think from a content perspective for blog posts and things, you can start to tailor, like Dave was saying, like tailor, like, okay, we know that you've been looking at the freelance category a lot, so we'll focus on sending you more articles about freelancing rather than the directory or, you know, something like that. But Like in my case, I have that interested in custom field in Drip. I try to make it extremely clear in my system, or like it's just really strict. Like you can only be tagged interested in the calendar if you've opted in for the early access list for the calendar. Like that's a pretty clear indication that you're interested in the calendar.
Kind of a high hurdle, huh?
Yeah, or like the content service. Like you're only going to be tagged interested in content service if you have downloaded the sample articles for the content service. Like that's something that clearly indicates that you're evaluating it in some way, or you're considering buying it someday in the future. You know, that's kind of how I've been handling that. So not everyone is tagged, right? And actually I have inserted something in that backend funnel. If a number of weeks go by and they haven't been identified as interested in something, then I send them a one-off email that basically has three links in it. And it kind of asks them like, it doesn't say like, which product are you interested in, but it does ask like, which problem are you trying to solve right now? And each one is clearly kind of linked to one of the three problems that our products solve. And those are like trigger links. So they click one, then it fills that custom field.
So this is interesting, when you're driving Facebook ads, it's sort of generally to something that would apply to all of your products? Like someone would click on your Facebook ad that could be a candidate for any of your products or services?
Well, as I said, I've been experimenting with a few different things.
Okay. Here's the reason I ask we're driving Facebook ads to right now is only for our course. I guess for our course would also be a good candidate for the podcast hosting service, because you'd probably only make that decision when you're starting a show. But for our paid stuff, everyone is tagged when they come in the door with, you know, watch the webinar or you know, interested in this, you know, our email series on how to start a podcast leading into the how to podcast course.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty similar to what I'm in the process of setting up for Audience Ops. And that's also a big reason why I decided to launch a training product, a training course from Audience Ops this year, is because I think that is a good top of funnel product to offer. So basically I'm running Facebook ads to a webinar, and I've been experimenting, like first maybe give them a checklist and then present the webinar. Or a short 5-minute video and then the 30-minute webinar video. I'm not sure that just a cold audience will want to opt in for a webinar from someone they haven't heard of before. So there's that piece. They get on the webinar. It's like a 30-minute training workshop, which I've already recorded, and I'm setting it up as an automated, you know, it runs a couple of times a week through an automated system. And then, so it trains them on, it's called systematic content marketing. So how to be systematic about, you know, publishing and producing content assets on a weekly basis. Then at the end of that, it presents a special offer. And the way that I handled it is it's actually two offers. You could choose offer one or offer two. Offer one is just the training course with a discount. Offer two is the training course plus an annual subscription to the calendar SaaS. So it's like a package deal. And really the training course leads in nicely to the calendar, because it's like we're teaching you all the strategies that we use, and then this tool, this calendar tool, really helps you implement it and do it in the best way we know how. So they're kind of companion products. You don't necessarily have to buy both. You know, you can just buy one or the other. But
you totally should buy both, right?
Well, that's how we're kind of presenting it on the webinar, right? Like if they get into the webinar, that's the only place where they're going to see this bundled deal. That's the only place where they're going to see this annual discount. And that's how we're positioning it, where it's like on the site, you can go straight to the site and you can see the pricing that the general public can buy it at any time. But if you've sat through the 30-minute training webinar and learned a thing or two, and then, you know, now you get access to that special deal, basically. That's how we're presenting it.
you know, just generally, and I think I mentioned it, I don't know, a month or 6 weeks ago, I read the Digital Marketers, the Ryan Dice book on all this stuff. It's really fantastic. Invisible Selling Machine, which is kind of an internet marketing title, but it's really great, kind of like fundamentals of like all the different ways and places that you kind of touch somebody through your funnel. If anybody wants to kind of read the book on it, I think it's fantastic. They talk a lot about, you know, the purpose of each phase of the funnels. And I think that's really important when we're thinking about how to approach it holistically. Cause before I read that, for me, it was like thinking about doing any of this stuff was so daunting. Like just getting started, quote, was like really hard. And it still is a little bit, but,
I'll tell you something that's been really frustrating me lately. I don't know if you guys think about this at all, but I feel like every time I read articles or books or podcasts that are specifically about optimizing your sales funnel or Facebook ads or anything like that, it always seems to me like a lot of that advice is geared at selling consumer products or selling lower priced. They always like give examples like if you're trying to sell your dog walking business, here's how you can market it on Facebook. And like I just feel like, yeah, if I was selling dog walking, like that would be really easy to get the quote unquote 10 cent clicks that everybody talks about. But like when you're selling to businesses, I just feel like a lot of that advice either doesn't apply or doesn't apply in the same way, or there are caveats that you have to think about if you're selling a higher ticket B2B service or product. Like I just feel like there's not enough funnel advice for B2B businesses. Do you guys think about that at all?
If you're specifically talking about Facebook, I've always felt that Facebook advertising to drive traffic into a funnel was always more consumer and oriented. Like Facebook was good for retargeting if you're trying to stalk somebody who visited your site. But if you're just trying to like cold get somebody to sign up for, you know, your email marketing service or your content marketing done for you service or whatever, that's just not very successful in general, because I think it's the wrong crowd. Like you go to Facebook to be social, you don't go there to think about business necessarily, unless you're visiting a Facebook group that specifically has business purpose. But it seems to me like anybody who's talked about Facebook ads seems to have more of a consumer bent to it. I don't know that everybody – I mean, maybe I just haven't been listening to a lot of stuff on funnels. I've been reading a lot of stuff on funnels, and those seem more business-oriented to me. But maybe I'm looking at different stuff than you're looking at, so I don't know.
I think Facebook for me and paid acquisition in general is all purely top-of-funnel lead acquisition. And I think for that, it's great. I mean, we're getting $1.50 to $2 leads right now, specifically about starting a podcast, which we're selling two products to. It's too early to tell like how that compares to like customer lifetime value, but I think that's pretty good. And then all the work is done with, you know, email and marketing automation later. And we got to make the money after they've opted into our list. But I think this is something interesting that we're seeing with like the service, the podcast motor service is definitely a B2B play, but, the course and the podcast hosting platform is a lot more B2C B2E, right? Like business to entrepreneur, like this kind of bubble that we're all kind of living in.
Business to everyone.
Business. So I mean, we're kind of changing our target audience a little bit, which is tough. But go to Facebook to get the leads, and then do the work with Drip or whatever you're using, and sell them on email.
I do think that, and I agree with everything both of you just said. But I think that Facebook has changed in the last year or two. In that it just got so much bigger. I mean, it's been huge for a while, but. When you think about, and I agree that, you know, Facebook generally, you know, people are in a consuming mindset. They're looking at their friends' baby pictures. They're yelling and screaming about Donald Trump, whatever. They're not necessarily in a business buying mindset. And And for sure, like, so I think that really the strategy that tends to work is to give them something to consume, give them content, like promote posts or retargeting to some sort of consumable, free educational thing, something like lightweight that doesn't take a lot of their time. That's why I don't think, you know, promoting a webinar right off the bat necessarily makes sense.
So we should promote cat GIFs.
You know, but, and then at the same time, you don't want to bring in the, you know, too many unqualified people. Right. But at this, but what I'm saying though, is that, like, I mean, I'm a business owner and I use Facebook, you know, like, they're business owners are on Facebook and there, that is a place where you can potentially reach them. It's just a question of how effective that is, when setting up a sales funnel that you could actually throw money into to get that predictable funnel going. I still think at the end of the day, it's for, especially for selling to businesses, it's still way more of a long-term play. Nurture them, bring them in organically with content, nurture them with content. And if you stay in their inboxes, then, you know, eventually, there's the opportunity for them to convert.
So it's more of a brand, like you would say, Facebook is more about brand awareness, not in like the Coke or Pepsi kind of way, just keeping your business and your name at the top of their mind.
Well, I think email is still the most important thing for that, of sending something to their inbox on a weekly-ish basis. And getting them to come back to your site from the inbox, you know, linking them from an email back to your site. And then if it's their third or fourth visit, you know, bringing them into a webinar or something like that. And Facebook is good to get the initial email address to then be able to follow up with them. And so that's what I think had, like, those are the things that have worked pretty well for me, is just, you know, so number one, just like lead ads, getting them into the email address and get email list and then following up and then eventually driving a conversion later, or they've been on the email list and then I'm showing them retargeting ads and that tends to bring them back to the buying decision that they had already been considering. And it just kind of gives them a little bit of a nudge. I've seen that work pretty well too. So you can't necessarily attribute that sale to the ad because they came in some other way, but it helped to move it along.
Okay. That makes sense.
So one thing I think it's interesting is thinking about the value of paid acquisition, and maybe like relative to like what you would spend in time or money on content marketing, in terms, instead of like an absolute number. But like, how do you guys think about like, okay, we're going to start running paid traffic to our site and to the top of our funnel. So I'll just say for us right now, we're starting small, which I think is a good way to start to make sure that you know it's working for you. But we're spending about a third of what we spend on content right now on Facebook ads, and are getting a lot more return just in terms of subscribers to our email list, which I think is where almost all of the selling happens. So it's kind of like to me saying like, wow, this could be like better use of our time and money. I don't know. Have you guys thought about budgeting and prioritization of paid acquisition versus content?
Well, personally, I just think that they still go hand in hand. Like, even if you're running Facebook ads and you're getting a lot of email addresses that way, you need to follow up with them and you need to keep that nurture sequence going over a long period of time. Like, there's the initial thing, like in the first week, you know, educate and try to make an offer, but then after that, like, what, 90% of those leads are not going to convert right away, and you need to be following up with content. And that's where I see the value of having content is that back end nurture sequence, no matter how they came in initially. Mm-hmm. So that's how I would think about that. And I mean, in terms of budgeting, you know, I've gone a little bit both ways. Like, when I'm testing out different Facebook ad spending strategies, so I've gone, like, you know, I've tried to start low and try to ramp it up as we go along. Right now, I'm trying to just dump a lot of money in and just test it for a couple of days to try to get data as fast as possible. and then kind of roll with it from there.
So I actually would disagree with Brian a little bit on this one. I think there is a priority. So if you don't have content, there's really no point in shoving a bunch of traffic at the top of your funnel because you've got no way to really follow up with them. And for me, with the business directory and classified plugins, I had a bunch of traffic, but I wasn't doing anything with it. So it was an obvious thing for me, put some content out there so I could keep myself at the top of their mind. So when they were ready to actually do something, they thought of me first. And I think that's going to be true for recapture as well. Before I actually start doing any sort of paid acquisition, I'm going to want to throw a whole bunch of content on the site first. So I've got something that they can, you know, get delivered over a period of time and, you know, have an autoresponder immediately that they can go through to learn something. And I consider all of those things content. There's just different forms of content. So for me, I would prioritize building the content at the very top of my list. And if you were to ask me how I would prioritize it, I'd say autoresponder sequence first, blog post second, and then paid advertising would be a third, not on that content list, but just sort of in a budget priority.
Yeah, I agree with that. I should say for absolute startups, like no customers yet, there's a different priority list, I think. I think for all of us, you know, including recapture, you know, Dave, that's not a new business. It's new for you, but it's still an established business. So
sure, 18 months, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I think the way that you laid it out there is like having the content assets in place first and then, you know, driving traffic to it. That makes sense. But if this is a startup and you don't have any customers yet and you're looking for customer number one, I don't know that investing in content at the expense of investing in anything else is the best use of your time. Like, I think there needs to be more of an urgency to get your very first customers in the door. Warm emailing, cold emailing, going in person to people, literally one-on-one hand-holding through free trials and purchases, and then once you know, like, okay, these are the people who I know will buy and it's not these people, then you know exactly who your best ideal customers are, and then you can start to develop the best possible content for them and go down that road.
That is an excellent point. You can't build content unless you know who you're building it for and what value they're actually going to get out of it. So if you're starting out, you absolutely should be prioritizing your budget to find ways to acquire customers, whether that's getting Mechanical Turk surveys or getting a LinkedIn membership and trying to find people in that industry and getting conversations with them, or whatever means would be necessary for you to get in front of that first customer and find out what it is about their life that you can fix and what kind of a person they are and what other concerns they have, because that's what you build the content around. So, yeah, I agree.
So, Brian, as you're looking at launching kind of publicly Audience Ops Calendar, what kind of stuff are you doing now to get ready for that in terms of your sales process or funnel?
Yeah, so I'm kind of right in the thick of it right now. And so it's been in beta, or we've been kind of building it for the past 6 months. I think we're coming into about the sixth month here. And right now, I'm just kind of tying up with the developers. I'm tying up loose ends on getting like the last in most important features ready to invite more customers in. We have a group of 15 beta customers who've been using it and giving us really good feedback. But basically, I've been building the early access list since before day one of development. So that's been growing, and we continue to get just organic leads coming into it who visit the page and then they enter their email address to get on the list. I haven't been doing a whole lot of paid traffic or anything like that to drive that list. That's been all organic, either people hearing me talk about it on the podcast or, you know, when they come to the site, now they see information about it. So I'm still in this, like, I treat that, it is a startup. I treat it very much like a startup. So every person who enters their email address, for the early access list, the next page that they see is a survey. And that's like 10 questions or so. They fill that out. That goes straight to my inbox. And then I read every single one. And I actually personally reply to every single one. And either I answer questions that they put into the survey, or I ask them questions like, oh, you mentioned that you use that tool. Why are you using that? What was kind of falling short for you there? Or, you know, what do you wish could be better? Obviously they're looking for a different solution. Otherwise they wouldn't have filled out this form. So I try to get in conversations there, and that's been really, really helpful. It's actually helped me, reprioritize the list of features and like when we're going to build which things, because there have been a few that just like several people have asked about, and I thought would be further down the line. So that's been something that I'm doing. But now, as we're getting into March, you know, my goal is to start inviting people from that early access list in batches to, hey, come on over. It's ready. You can start your 30-day free trial, and it's ready to go. And that's, you know, that process should hopefully happen within the next 30 days. After I do that initial email reply to their survey, I think they get some like content articles from us, but I haven't been doing, I think, enough of following up about Audience Ops Calendar and the progress that we've been making. So I definitely need to fill in the gaps there. One thing that I want to do pretty soon is I want to create like a series of really short videos, like 2 minutes or less. And each video is just focused on a very specific problem that the tool solves. And I'll show the specific feature that solves it. And maybe create a series of like 5 or 6 of those videos. Cause there's like an overarching problem that the tool solves, but there are very specific little pain points that it solves. And I can drip those out in an email sequence, or I can, you know, promote those on social media, or, you know, in like little bite-sized chunks. So that's one thing that I'm thinking about doing. And I could also target if I find people on Twitter or in Facebook groups who are expressing the pain point of, oh, you know, scheduling social media posts using something like Buffer always posts broken links because it comes out too early and the blog post hasn't gone live yet. You know, Audience Ops Calendar solves that problem, you know, because we have smart scheduling. So if I have a short video that just shows the solution to that problem, you know, and I do that for 5 or 6 things, that's something that I want to build out over the next 30 days.
Nice. Cool. That sounds great. Yeah, I love, I'm big on the video bandwagon these days. I think it's great.
Yeah, I think it's more and more important too, especially whether it's Facebook or, you know, Instagram or, you know, Twitter or on your site. Like it, yeah, I mean, you need video to just kind of get the point across. I think content is great, like text content is great, but when you're trying to make a pitch for a very specific thing, it's a little bit more engaging to have a video.
Well, and I think that's a good point. Dave touched on earlier, is all content is not just blog posts. It's video and email and blog posts and a YouTube channel or whatever. I think it all, like if I look at the people who I really respect and how they do content, not just educational, really helpful content, but also good sales content, it's multimedia for sure, because it all kind of impacts us differently. So yeah, I think it's all, you got to have a little bit of everything, to be really successful, I think.
So, Brian, can you tell everybody, where they can reach you and learn more about Audience Ops?
Sure. So, you know, audienceops.com. I hopefully have a live chat on there pretty soon, and that'll usually be me on there, but I think Drift has been down today. I think they'll be back up soon. So yeah, audienceops.com. I'm Cast Jam on Twitter. I still use Twitter. I'm going down with the ship there.
You're the guy.
Me too, man. Twitter for the win.
Yep. My personal site is castjam.com. That's where I have a lot of blog posts and content there. And you guys know I co-host the Bootstrapped Web podcast with Jordan Gall.
Of course. Great. Thank you so much for coming on the show this week, Brian.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun. Yep.
All right. So if you have any thoughts on how to build a funnel, or you have any questions for myself, Craig, or Brian, send us an email to podcast@roguestartups.com. And if you have a chance, we'd love it if you'd head over to iTunes and give us a review if you're loving the show. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.